focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts, and the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KU's Spencer Museum of Art, now featuring special exhibitions showcasing Art of the Sea, regional artists, and the sacred Red Rock. Exhibition and event information at spencerart.ku.edu.
Lows in the mid-40s tonight, highs around 70 tomorrow. It's 62 degrees in Topeka. It is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Become a KPR sponsor and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
About another 40 minutes of all things considered left to come. In that time, we'll get you an update of news headlines. We'll learn about the new movie about Christy Martin, a star boxer from the 1990s. Then, states are still deadlocked over a new agreement to share the water from the Colorado River.
We've got these 19th century laws and 20th century infrastructure and 21st century climate, and those things don't fit together very well.
Trump administration is threatening to get involved if the states don't make a whole lot of progress very soon. We'll also tell you about the verdict that was rendered today for the man who threw a sub sandwich at a federal agent back in Washington, D.C. It's all coming up here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest, the locally owned natural mattress and furniture store in Lawrence, with heirloom quality furniture by Acornis, Copeland, Sisco Brothers, and Younger. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
Following all things considered this evening on your KPR One stations, we have Classics Live, then an hour of classical music with Destiny. It's Tango Thursday. You never want to miss that. If you're joining us on KPR Two tonight, stay tuned for Prairie Journal at 7 o'clock. Followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson. It's 6:20.
Support for NPR.
Democrats scored decisive victories for the party up and down the ballot this week.
I think we've stopped the bleeding, but under no circumstances is the Democratic brand, quote unquote, fixed, or is it back?
How are Democrats charting a path forward? That's tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
That story and a whole lot more coming your way tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio is your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, reminding listeners to visit a dentist regularly. Dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. News headlines are coming up next. 61 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 6:30.
The Israeli attacks, which have killed upward of 100 civilians, according to the UN. In a public letter to the Lebanese government, Hezbollah said it stands beside the army to defend Lebanese sovereignty. Jouad Rizqallah, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. A city in south central Kansas will let its mayor finish the last 2 months of his term, even after it was discovered that he is not a U.S. citizen. Coldwater Mayor Jose Ceballos is a legal permanent resident, but not a citizen. The Kansas Attorney General is charging Ceballos with 3 counts of voting without being qualified and 3 counts of election perjury for allegedly voting without citizenship. Ceballos was reelected, actually, to the mayoralty on Tuesday, but the city will not swear him in for a second term in January unless he gains citizenship before then. If he is found guilty of the charges, Ceballos could face more than 5 years in prison. The only dining hall at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas will close ahead of schedule due to the government shutdown. Military and civilian personnel at the Army installation, some of whom have been furloughed due to the shutdown, will have to use military stipends or personal money to eat elsewhere. Republican Pat Proctor is a veteran who represents Leavenworth in the Kansas House. He says the dining hall was already scheduled to close in January, regardless of the shutdown, because it wasn't being used very much by Army personnel.
A lot of them work nights, a lot of them work swing shifts. It's not practical for them to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the dining facility.
A military spokesperson for Fort Leavenworth confirmed that and said the facility was only one-third full on average. The former CEO of an investment firm granted a bank charter in Kansas has been arrested and jailed. Brad Heppner, a native of Heston, Kansas, is the founder and former CEO of the Beneficent investment firm. He was taken into custody Tuesday by the Irving Police Department in Texas and indicted in federal court in New York on multiple counts of securities fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit fraud, and falsification of records. The Kansas Reflector reports that his firm was granted a unique bank charter by the Kansas legislature for one of Beneficent's subsidiaries. Kansas Senate President Ty Masterson had championed the legislation granting the unique charter, which allowed the company to anchor its asset swap business in Kansas. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
This week on Prairie Journal, with the off-year elections behind us, we look ahead to the 2026 midterms, just 1 year out.
The country's in a strange and very polarized place, and Donald Trump has changed all the rules and the norms.
I'm Kay McIntyre. Join me and veteran journalist Jerry Seib for a preview of the 2026 midterm elections. That's on Prairie Journal, 11 o'clock Sunday morning on KPER 1, 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon on KPER 2.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, many other frequencies as well, and always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. We have a bit more All Things Considered yet to come. At 7 o'clock, if you're joining us on KPR One stations, we have Classics Live, followed by an hour of classical music with Destiny. It's Tango Thursday. Don't want to miss that. And then we'll have Jazz in the Night tonight, featuring music from the Vinyl Vault. If you're joining us on KPR 2, stick around at 7 o'clock for Prairie Journal. Maybe you still think of it as KPR Presents. We're all trying to remember to get the new name right. Same show, same host, just different name. Prairie Journal at 7 o'clock, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Procter & Gamble, maker of ZQuil, with a range of products designed to relieve occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep. Learn more at ZQuil.com. From the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation, collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. From the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
Democrats scored decisive victories up and down the ballot this week. What could this mean for the midterms and beyond? That's on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is what you'll hear, with the latest national, international, and regional news headlines.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas Arts Commission, accepting nominations for the 2026 Kansas Governor's Arts Awards, celebrating artists, organizations, and businesses. Details at kansasartscommission.com.
Stay tuned. Coming up in a little bit more than a minute, it's Classics Live, a Doreen Morand recital tonight, featuring Tom Aber on bass and contralto clarinet. He's playing alongside the KC Brookside String Quartet. It's all coming up tonight on KPR. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org, or you can tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health's new cancer center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options, all under one roof. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
Lows in the mid-40s tonight. It is 60 degrees in Lawrence. It's 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, your plus one here in the audience of the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. How about an English fantasy quintet for bass clarinet and string quartet? Or the vivid speechless air and something with the title in the old Gaelic language? Well, here's Terry Teal, the JCCC Director of Choral Studies and Vocal Arts, to introduce the musicians in this Rule Joyce Doreen Morande Professional Recital Series.
All the musicians today have played on the Rule Joyce series before, but we welcome them back once again, and this looks like a really interesting program. You're going to have the opportunity to hear pieces you've never heard before or that are rarely done, and so I think it's pretty exciting. This is used to be what people always wanted to hear, was the new music, and so we get an opportunity to do that today. Performers are Thomas Aber, who plays bass clarinet and contralto clarinet, and then he is playing with the Brookside String Quartet. And this quartet features four seasoned players here from the Kansas City area: Alex Shum on violin, Francesca Mannheim, also violin, Kent Broninger on viola, and Larry Figg on cello. So I know that you will want to get started with the program and join me in giving a warm welcome to Thomas Aber and the Brookside String Quartet.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. a brief break, and we're going to kind of change the pace. We've got kind of a musical travelogue. You can gather that from the program. That first piece was written in the mid-1930s, and it's sort of an example of the school of English composition of the time. It was called pastoralism. It was supposed to be depictive of the countryside and sort of an impressionistic romantic blend. So that was the English beginning to our program. And now we're going to travel to Scotland. And I'm going to play a couple of pieces, one on the bass clarinet and one on the contralto clarinet. And both of these pieces were written as part of a set of 10 commissioned by Sarah Watts, who's a British bass clarinetist. And she happens to own a holiday cottage on the island of Rasse. And Rasse is a very tiny island near the Isle of Skye, which is off the west coast of Scotland. And it's very scenic, but outside of tourism, it's not a great place to live. It's rocky and cold and wet, and not much grows there. But there's quite a history which inspired these pieces. They're both from a poem by Sorley MacLean, who's one of the primary Scottish poets of the 20th century. And the first piece is got its title in Gaelic, which is the original language of the poem. And then the second piece is titled in English, and that's because the poem was also translated into English. Gaelic is the language of Rasse, and still is to the natives. But there's quite a sad story about this island. In the mid-1800s, there was something known as the Highland Clearances. And this island was a victim of that happening. The island in its entirety, along with several other islands, was bought by a former slave trader who'd made it big when the British government shut down the slave trade and paid off all the slave traders. They became quite wealthy, some of them. And so this particular one, whose name was Rainey, and who was Scottish, but who'd made a fortune in the Caribbean selling slaves and sugar and everything else, when he took this money and bought up a lot of property with the intention of depopulating it and turning it over to sheep raising. So essentially, he forcibly evicted almost everyone from this island of Rasse and I think from the Isle of Skye to a great degree. And so the poem is reflecting on that fact. The second one in particular is kind of attempting to evoke the image of just ruins of cottages, because that's all that's left. And then the first one refers a bit more to the tradition of bagpipe playing that was very prevalent in those islands before the clearances. So these are both new pieces. They were written in 2019. So I'll play one and then the other.
Thank you.
Now, with the quartet, we're going to move back to England, probably play something that's actually familiar to a lot of people. This is the Simple Symphony of Benjamin Britten in a string quartet or quintet version with a contra alto substituting for the contrabass violin. This piece was actually taken from tunes that Britten wrote when he was a youth or a child. And it's called the Simple Symphony, and all the movements are alliterative in their titles. There's the boisterous bourrée, the playful pizzicato, the sentimental saraband, and let's see, what's the last one? Frolicsome finale. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ending with Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony. Tom Aber played the contra alto clarinet, covering the string bass part in the violins, viola, and cello of Kansas City's Brookside Quartet filled out the rest. The members of Brookside are Alex Shum, Francesca Mannheim, Kent Browninger, and Larry Fagg. We hope you've enjoyed this interestingly scored recital. Not every day do we get to hear a good lower clarinet player with a string quartet. Chuck Smith recorded this concert for Classics Live. I'm your concert mate and fellow music lover, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another KPR recording by Jason Sloat and Chuck Smith from September 22nd in 2022. This time from the KPR studio, that was the first movement of Beethoven's first string quartet, Opus 18, played by the Verona String Quartet. Find out more about Classics Live on kansaspublicradio.org. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, providing locally sourced food and products each and every day. Open daily at 901 Iowa in Lawrence and 501 Minnesota in Kansas City, Kansas. And from LMH Health Primary Care, providing care for patients at every stage of life across northeastern Kansas. More information at lmh.org/primary. And from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu. KPR is on KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH, KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, plus KANQ Chanute.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is taking steps to lower the cost of obesity drugs. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports Trump announced a deal with two pharmaceutical companies that would allow some people to get drugs like Ozempic for as little as $149 per month.
Speaking from the Oval Office, President Trump announced the deal with Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk for their GLP-1 drugs that treat diabetes and obesity.
These are two companies that behind the groundbreaking weight loss drugs that have helped millions of Americans struggling with obesity live better, longer lives, everything else. These are the two companies that really broke ground.
The deal includes coverage by Medicare and Medicaid, which could mean new customers for the companies. And the administration says about 10% of Medicare enrollees will be eligible. The drugs will also be available to purchase online in a direct-to-consumer marketplace that the Trump administration plans to launch, called Trump RX. Franco Ordonez, NPR News, the White House.
The Supreme Court is allowing the Trump administration to block transgender and non-binary people from choosing passport sex markers that align with their gender identity. The decision halts a lower court order that allowed people to choose male, female, or X on their passport. Transgender people say the change puts them at risk. The Federal Aviation Administration says it will slow down air traffic to ease staffing issues during the government shutdown. flight capacity will be reduced by 10% at 40 major airports, including Chicago, Atlanta, and Washington, as Marlon Hyde from member station WABE reports.
Inside Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, Ellen Silva just arrived from Baltimore. She's staying until Tuesday. Silva is a professional pet sitter and is concerned that her job might be affected if her return flight is altered by the flight reductions.
I would miss work, and I'd have some very unhappy people that I work for because they depend on me so they can travel. And if I'm not there, they can't leave.
Airlines encourage customers to check their flight status before heading to the airport. Frontier and Delta Airlines expect flights will go as planned. Customers whose flights are canceled or delayed can rebook or request a refund online. For NPR News, I'm Marlon Hyde in Atlanta.
A federal judge in Texas has dismissed a criminal conspiracy charge against Boeing related to two 737 MAX crashes that killed 346 people. The deal requires Boeing to pay or invest an additional $1.1 billion in fines, compensation for victims' families, and internal safety measures. And the U.S. is ending South Sudan's temporary protected status that allows refugees to stay in the country while they escape armed conflict at home. The termination will be effective January 5th. The Trump administration has withdrawn protections for Venezuelans, Haitians, and others that were granted during the Biden administration. From Washington, this is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Joyce Foundation, committed to advancing racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate November 6th. The black hole at the heart of the Milky Way is like the monster lurking under your bed. It's 4 million times the mass of the sun and about 15 million miles across, just waiting to gobble up anything that gets too close. But compared to the black holes in many other galaxies, the one in the Milky Way is less like a monster and more like a dust bunny. The largest ones yet seen are thousands of times bigger, and they're known as ultramassive black holes. Informally, they're also called slabs, stupendously large black holes. Just which one is the biggest is uncertain. It's hard to measure the mass of something that might be billions of light years away. A recent candidate is in a structure known as the cosmic horseshoe. The gravity of a stupendously large galaxy warps the view of a galaxy behind it, creating what looks like a big blue horseshoe. In a recent study, astronomers combined a couple of techniques to measure the mass of the black hole in the foreground galaxy, 36 billion times the mass of the Sun. Researchers say the combo makes the measurement the most accurate for any candidate for the biggest black hole honors. But other black holes could be bigger. The biggest candidate is known as Phoenix A. It could be up to about 25,000 times the mass of the Milky Way's black hole. But that number is highly uncertain. So the search for the biggest black hole continues. You can find more astronomy news in Stardate magazine. Subscription information at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Thank you.
Goodie recording to kick off our Tango Thursday together here on KPR. Hi, I'm Destiny. This is Evening Classical, and that was Gina Stera's Danzas Argentinas with none other than Marta Argerich, the Argentinian pianist. So I hope you liked it. She's fantastic. That's a pretty old recording. Boy, exciting. I'll also end the hour with a little tango for you. But we are going to play one of my favorite symphonies this hour, one that I love. In fact, I love it as much as I love Garden Sounds. Wait a second. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, buying and selling compact discs, vinyl records, stereo equipment, and more at 822 Mass Street in Lawrence. More at lovegardensounds.com. You see, we here at KPR and your dear old host Destiny here are totally dedicated to programming music that you enjoy, and any planned gift or unplanned gift you can give us really helps. The planned gifts are pretty nice because then we can plan ahead. Options for that include assets like stocks or bonds and certificates of deposit, real estate. There are a lot of ways to help us out here at KPR. Just go to our website and find out, kansaspublicradio.org. Okay, my favorite symphony, one of them, Dvorak's From the New World. When I was in high school, I blared this on my boombox on the homecoming float, and we won because we were the Orc Dorks. Yes, good memories. Andre Previn and the LA Phil, right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Oh, such a good symphony here on KPR, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan. Wow. Dvorak's Symphony No. 9 from the New World with Andre Previn and the LA Phil. Whew. Gosh, I don't really know what to follow that with, but since it is Tango Thursday, how about a little tango? First, though, I'd like to thank one of our great supporters for classical music on KPR, Art of the Groom, a pet salon and art studio at 1906 Massachusetts Street in Lawrence, offering commissioned pet portraits and dog grooming. Information available by emailing artofthegroom@gmail.com. You know, my cats, whenever I've been in the home studio, have not been making appearances lately. Maybe it's the change in the weather. They're going into hibernation mode. I don't know. Let's pretend, though, that it's still summer and we're enjoying the beaches, and it's warm as we listen to this Cubanos Tango by Joshua Rifkin right now on KPR. Ernesto Nazareth's Cubanos Tango here on KPR, played by Joshua Rifkin. Thanks for being here with me this week. I will look for all of you on Saturday for my Classics by Request show. Jazz in the Night up next here on KPR.
You know that Morning Edition keeps you up to date on the news, but did you know it might help you find a new hobby?
People go beachcombing for lots of different things. Shells, rocks, driftwood. We're after sea glass.
We also bring you stories that make you smile.
It's really cool to be in an environment where there's only girls and jazz.
Join us weekday mornings for the news and a little something unexpected on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. And this is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, the app, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store, sponsoring the Vinyl Vault Hour on Jazz in the Night. Store details and buying policies at lovegardensounds.com. And Kansas City PBS, featuring Nick Haynes and local guest experts sharing insights and context around major news stories on Week in Review. Available on the Kansas City PBS YouTube channel.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Congressional Budget Office has been hacked. The small agency provides nonpartisan analysis to support Congress during the budgeting process. A spokesperson said the office identified the security breach and took immediate action to contain it and created new security controls. The incident is under investigation. A federal judge in Rhode Island ordered the Trump administration to pay full SNAP food benefits by tomorrow. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports that the administration immediately appealed.
Just last week, the same judge, John McConnell Jr., ordered the release of at least partial SNAP payments. A group of cities and nonprofits argued that was not enough and could take weeks for some states to administer. Judge McConnell agreed. He said the administration had ignored the harmful consequences of slashing the nation's biggest anti-hunger program. He also said President Trump showed intent to defy a court order when he posted on Truth Social this week that SNAP benefits would not restart until after the federal shutdown was over. The administration's appeal once again puts food aid on hold for millions of people as food banks around the country scramble to help fill the gap. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump says a Supreme Court ruling against his tariff policies would be catastrophic and hurt his ability to defend the country.
I think it would be devastating for our country, but I also think that we'll have to develop a game two plan. We'll see what happens.
Trump's comments come after conservative justices seemed skeptical of his authority to unilaterally impose tariffs on nearly every country in the world. Challengers say Trump is illegally using an emergency law to claim nearly limitless tariff power, and American small businesses are paying the price. The administration argues tariffs are part of Trump's power to regulate trade. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she will not seek another term. From member station KQED, Scott Schaefer reports.
Pelosi's nearly six-minute announcement video is essentially a love letter to San Francisco and her constituents. After references to the city's values, resilience, and progress, she reveals at the end she won't seek re-election. Pelosi was sworn in for the first time as Speaker in 2007.
It's an historic moment for the Congress. It's an historic moment for the women of America.
In her 38 years in Congress, Pelosi wielded power to get federal funding for AIDS and public transit and muscled through Democratic priorities like the Affordable Care Act, now the focus of Democrats' refusal to reopen the government. Pelosi has been a leading foil to President Donald Trump, overseeing two impeachments and a House investigation into the January 6th attack on the Capitol. For NPR News, I'm Scott Schaefer in San Francisco.
Wall Street lost ground as tech stocks fell today. The S&P 500 fell over 1%. This is NPR News from Washington. Ukrainian drones have struck a major oil refinery in Russia for the second time in nearly 3 months. Russian officials have not confirmed the attack. Meanwhile, Russia continues to target Ukraine's power grid. Ukrainian President Zelensky says foreign countries are helping maintain the grid amid the attacks. A Colombian national who survived a U.S. attack on a submarine suspected of transporting narcotics in the Caribbean Sea last month has been released and will not face charges in his home country. This despite assurances from both Colombia and President Trump that he would. More from NPR's Carrie Kahn.
According to the Spanish newspaper El País, Jonathan Obando Perez was discharged last week from a Bogota hospital. The 34-year-old was one of two survivors of a U.S. military strike on a suspected drug-smuggling submarine. Federal officials in Bogota say there were no plans to launch a formal investigation against Obando, as it has no evidence he committed a crime in Colombia. President Trump had posted on social media that Obando would be detained and prosecuted in Colombia. Officials there also made similar assurances. The other survivor of the attack, an Ecuadorian with a criminal narcotics record in the U.S., was also released once returned to his home country. Carrie Kahn, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
Solar storms may bring colorful auroras to several northern U.S. states tonight. The sun emitted a huge burst of energy that's currently on its way to Earth. Authorities say they don't expect major disruptions to radio or communications. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
Trombonist Bob Brickmeyer and his composition, Rocky Scotch, opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. It's Thursday night at the 9 o'clock hour. It's our all-vinyl jazz hour. And this one came from the vinyl vault, 1955 for Prestige Records, the dual role of Bob Brickmeyer, referring to the fact that Bob plays valve trombone on some of the tracks, plays piano on some of the tracks. We heard him there on trombone. There were also two different bands on the album. We heard the Bob Brookmeyer Quartet. They did four tunes, and then two of the tunes had Bob playing as part of the Teddy Charles Quartet. And that tune, very influenced by Jerry Mulligan's writing, I think, especially. Bob had worked with Jerry and others in that vein. Bob on valve trombone, guitarist Jimmy Rainey, bassist Teddy Kotick, drummer Mel Lewis. In just a few minutes, we'll hear some cooking music from pianist Cedar Walton's quintet live in Italy in 1985. And up next, the original lineup of the Great Jazz Trio. That was a name given to a piano trio led by Hank Jones, making over 30 records for Japanese labels mostly over the decades. And he was the one constant, quite a few different bassists, quite a few different drummers. But this is the original lineup. Hank Jones piano, Ron Carter bass, Tony Williams on drums. Thank you. from 1978, the title track to the album, the LP Milestones by the great jazz trio here on KPR, the original lineup of that trio with Hank Jones piano, Ron Carter bass, Tony Williams on drums, and recorded for the East Wind label in Japan, came out in the U.S. on Inner City Records. Hank Jones would lead the great jazz trio for close to four decades, recording well over 30 albums. But the bass and drum combinations were changed over the years among the bassists in the great jazz trio, Buster Williams, Eddie Gomez, John Patitucci, and Richard Davis, among the drummers, Al Foster, Elvin Jones, and Jack Jeanette. But we heard the original great jazz trio. By the way, where'd their name come from? Well, the trio had a gig at the Village Vanguard in 1975, and Max Gordon, who ran the Vanguard, decided to call them the Great Jazz Trio. I'm Bob McWilliams. We've got pianist Cedar Walton's quintet live in Italy in the mid-1980s up next, and then some music from the 1950s by the alto sax pairing of Phil Woods and Gene Quill, and from the great bassist Oscar Pettiford. That and more here on our Vinyl Hour on Jazz in the Night on Kansas.